In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Good morning. Happy Advent. And in case anybody doesn't know, it's also Christmas Eve. In case you didn't get that memo, I apologize to anybody who came to church this morning expecting a Christmas Eve service. Right after we're done with this, we're going to shift gears and change everything from Advent blue to Christmas white. And at noon, we start our services for the eve of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's funny how that works out every few years in our church calendar where these 2 days overlap. But for the next couple hours, it's still Advent, and it's the fourth Sunday of Advent. And this is the Sunday when in our readings, we focus on Mary. And I think it's really a good thing because, well, for one thing, Mary is just such an incredible person, and we as a church, I think, we don't really spend much time thinking about or talking about Mary. And one reason might be that the Gospels were written by men, and for many centuries the church has been run by men up until recently, and frankly women's stories and women's voices have been marginalized. And another reason that we don't pay as much attention to Mary as she deserves, I believe in the Episcopal Church and in other mainline Protestant denominations, is partially in reaction to the Catholic Church's veneration of Mary. It's one of the places where our theologies have diverged. And another reason we might shy away from Mary is that hers is such a fantastic story, and it's told in just a few broad strokes in the Gospels, so she's a bit of an enigma. For all these reasons, she deserves our attention today. I wonder what Mary was doing that day in that little town in Galilee called Nazareth, when the angel Gabriel, sent by God, dropped in unannounced. Was she sweeping up, doing the dishes, wrangling her siblings, taking care of aging parents? Or maybe she was sitting, looking out the window, dreaming of the life before her. Maybe she was making wedding plans. We're told that she was, after all, engaged to a man named Joseph. Given the times and the culture, it was probably an arranged marriage, and I wonder if she may have felt like her life had been kind of prearranged by others. Whatever she was doing, I doubt she was expecting the thing that was about to happen, the interruption of her life by an angel. An angel who appears on the scene out of nowhere, speaking what may have sounded like nonsense. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." We're told that Mary was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. Well, I guess, who the heck are you? And what makes you think I'm somehow blessed? The angel Gabriel behaved like men are apt to do, and immediately begins to explain to Mary exactly what is about to happen to her body, to her future. And even though she doesn't appear to be scared, the angel says, "Mary, Mary, stay calm." I mean, it's almost hilarious in hindsight that Gabriel begins by telling her about what's going to happen with "don't be afraid," because here's what he tells her, and I paraphrase: "God likes you so much that God has chosen you to do something incredible. You're about to become pregnant, and you're going to have a son, and here's what you're going to name him, Jesus, and here's what he's going to be, the King of Israel, such a great king that his kingdom will have no end." And Mary's like, "Wait, what? I'm a virgin." And the angel says, "Everything's going to be okay. The Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you. And in fact, your son will be called the Son of God. Look, your cousin Elizabeth, she's old and she's pregnant. Nothing's impossible with God." Nothing to fear there, right? No pressure there. Just roll with it, Mary. Now, no one would blame her for calling out the false equivalency of comparing an old woman's pregnancy with the announcement that you're about to give birth to the Son of God, but she lets that one go. Mary's answer is nothing short of amazing. She says, "Here I am. I'm God's servant. Bring it on." Talk about leaning in. There are so many things that I, a postmodern, pro-feminist man who's clearly entitled and privileged through no effort of my own, hey, I just won the birth lottery, there are so many things in this story that rub me a little wrong. Angel Gabriel's mansplaining, telling her how it's going to be, feels unfair at best, and could verge on bullying almost. And I read this passage, and in fact I read all passages from the Bible, through the lens of my context, in my culture. I read it as a 21st century, 63-year-old white guy with a certain level of education and life experiences, and I try to read it as critically as possible, keeping all of this in mind, including my own biases. So, sure, I can read this passage that we call the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary as another instance of the patriarchy imposing its will on an innocent young woman, and I can also read it as a beautiful story of a young woman's acceptance of God's interruption of her life and her acceptance of the responsibility of God's grace, because God's gifts always seem to come in pairs. A gift of grace coupled with the gift of a call to responsibility. I don't mean to say that God's gifts come with strings attached or that they are somehow given conditionally, but over and over again in the Bible, God calls selected people, individuals like you and me, and gives them an unimaginable gift, and with it, a call to action. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Think of Isaac and Rebecca, Moses, Nathan from our reading today, the prophets, John the Baptist. Think of Mary and the message that the angel brought her that day when her life was interrupted. Think of your own lives and the times you were brought up short, when you got a glimpse of something you'd never seen or heard. Something inexplicable that opened your eyes and ears in ways that were surprising, maybe even terrifying, because you knew that you could either respond or ignore the miracle before you. We call those our God moments in our lives. The wonderful thing about those moments is that you get the feeling that nothing will ever be the same. The terrifying thing about those moments is that if you respond and say, "Here I am, I'll do it," whatever it may be that you're called to do, that nothing will ever be the same. Because I know from my own personal experience that God has moved in my life in ways that I never expected, and at times in ways that I didn't want. Now, the angel Gabriel has never appeared to me, not in any form that I could recognize him as such, but I know that there are times when I have looked away and pretended not to see or hear the gift that I was being offered because I didn't want the responsibility of acting like a child of God. I wonder what I've missed by saying no and by turning aside. But what about Mary? Even though we read the Song of Mary before the story of the Annunciation today, in Luke's narrative, they happen in reverse order. And after Mary is visited by Gabriel, after she says, "Here I am, and I'm all in," she goes to visit Elizabeth. Now, I don't know if two pregnant women, even if they are related, have some special intuitive understanding of one another, although I would like to believe that that's true. And I also choose to believe that the baby in Elizabeth's womb, who happened to be John the Baptizer, jumped with joy at the meeting, that everybody present was filled with hope that day, even though they were afraid, perhaps, or at least aware of the awesome responsibilities they were facing, bringing two small miraculous beings into the world, into the uncertain and dangerous world. Mary certainly is joyful and energized. Hear what she sings. It's a song about how fortunate she is to have been given the responsibility of mothering God's incarnate love on earth. Then she sings because she knows the story of how God's love is to play out. She sings about, here's what she knows about how God's kingdom will play out on this earth. The egotistical will be put in their places, and their places are not at all what they imagine. The mighty will be pulled down, and the meek and the humble will prevail. The hungry will be full, and the rich will be empty. These are the promises of the baby she carries in her womb, the baby that will grow into the man who she will see executed for bringing hard, merciful love into the world. Well, that part of the story is for later. Today, Fourth Advent, we have Mary. Not Mary meek and mild, but Mary strong, brave, exuberant. Mary who said, "Here I am." Amen.
Amen.